shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to a very, very special episode of the Masterclass, and more specifically, 10 Days of Ten Hag. This is episode 4, and we're going to be talking about Tyrell Malacia, who is going to be joining Manchester United. Exciting left-back Robin Feyenoord, a player that Ten Hag really, really likes, and one that has kind of come out as a little bit of a shock. Obviously, we've just recently done episode 3, which is around Frankie de Jong, and we thought Frankie de Jong would be the first player announced by Manchester United. Obviously, Malacia isn't announced yet officially, but it's all but done, really. United have agreed to terms, haven't they? So let's talk about that, because he's a really exciting player. A lot of fans might not have heard about him or heard very little about him, but he's exactly the sort of signer Man United used to make and should be making. Smart signings with a lot of upside, low risk, and players that can be developed.
Indeed. Create stars, don't buy them. So you're not really creating Malacia, but what you're doing is taking a young talent, giving him a platform and a coach, and hopefully giving him the skills and the learning that he needs to kick on to be a really, really good player. So yes, here we are. We're in a complete world of Frankie de Jong, aren't we? Everyone's waiting for that one. But of course, Frankie de Jong's agents are doing other business as well. And it just so happens that they are the agents of this player. They're also the agents of Donny van de Beek and the agents of Victor Lindelof. So Malacia has been on the market for a short while now. Manchester United have been interested in him in recent weeks. He's been connected with the football club. United not really made any kind of serious moves for him up until literally the last 24 hours. So where do we stand with this? Malacia was going to Lyon. That deal was pretty much done and dusted. Marseille were also in there. But it did seem that kind of that was all verbally agreed. The player was going to move. And then what happened? West Ham happened. West Ham knocked on the door and said, we would like to buy this player, or we'd at least like to talk about buying him. So can you not sign that deal? So that put a kind of pause on it for a 24-hour period. And John Murtough got a smell and a sniff of it, because obviously he's negotiating with de Jong at the moment and with his representatives for a contract, and it all just completely spiraled out of control very quickly. Manchester United made their offer to Feyenoord. They upped their offer from what Lyon wanted to pay initially. They upped the offer from what West Ham were offering, and it was all agreed in the blink of an eye. So where are we now? The player at this moment in time, as we talk and do our show here for our special masterclass, is agreeing terms at the moment to a contract. I don't think anyone really sees that as being a problem. He's coming in obviously at the lower end of the spectrum of Manchester United earners. But we have a left back who could be a very, very, very good player. And I think it is time that Manchester United shopped in this marketplace rather than, let's say, some of the more inflated marketplaces would have had no success.
That's very, very key. What we wanted to see, Rob, is we wanted to see a change, didn't we? And it's very early to say whether things have changed or not from the old regime to the new regime. And a sign like this, in some ways, excites me more than, say, a Frankie de Jong. We know what we're getting with Frankie de Jong. You know, he's a world-class footballer, complete midfielder, modern midfielder. But Malacia is exciting because it's a player that you bring in with a lot of raw ability and talent, and you can almost mold them and make them into the next superstar. That's what Man United used to do all the time. Guys, a lot of you in the chat right now, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button as well. Give this a retweet if you see this on Twitter, and make sure you hit that like button so we push the algorithm and get this video out to as many people as possible. But Rob, you know, something I was saying to you off air, which is very, very interesting, is that I was in Portugal about a month ago, and it kept on bumping into these Dutch lads. Everywhere we went, we bumped into them 4 or 5 times over the week that we were there. So we were sitting down and talking to one of them, and he was a Feyenoord fan. And this is just before the Europa Conference League final. And we had a chat about Malacia because United were linked at the time. We do know that Ten Hag has been a fan of him for a very, very long time. I said, look, what is the story with this player? Because obviously, linked to Manchester United, United get linked with lots and lots of players. Is he the real deal? Has he got the potential to, you know, make the step up And he said to me that he's the best player to come through the academy in years. And we talk about, you know, a lot of quality Dutch players that do come through there. You know, it's almost a revolving door of talent. And he said to me that he's ready for the step up. Man United shouldn't even blink twice about paying the money, 15 million, which is extremely reasonable. And, you know, he said he's definitely one that has all the attributes and the mentality to go to the top. So that's very, very exciting. And so I had a little, obviously, a little bit of a, let's say, a little wobbly. I was just frustrated because United have said that, you know, they're going to go for players that fit the system. And, you know, a few days ago, we obviously saw that Lyon were quite close to Malacia. And obviously now this has happened. But I get even more excited about these sort of signings because then you can mold these players and then they can grow. You know, we saw Ronaldo, Rooney, when they were very, very young at Man United with Fergie, and they grew into the world-class players that they are. And I like to see that. And I think the United fans almost feel a little bit more of an attachment. They feel a little bit more, don't they, when players come through the academy or young players are developed at the club? Mm.
Of course they do. And that's part of the lifeblood of Manchester United, you know, in terms of the youth system and how that has been built through over time. But in terms of, like, you know, what type of player do you buy? You know, I don't think we're saying always go and shop in the bargain basement. That's not really what we're saying. We're saying go and get players that you can develop. So I said to you off camera, and I do believe this because it's what I've, you know, I was thinking about with Malacia in recent weeks and recent times. We've not really talked about him on the show, but he for me, he is a Patrice Evra type player. So not exactly stylistically the same type of player, but what do I mean when I compare him? Well, what Evra used to do really well as a left back was drive the ball. He was an aggressive fullback. So even though he wasn't the biggest guy, he was always like the biggest heart, wasn't he? He was a guy who kind of found his place. I think after 6 months of being at Man United and trying to find his feet and maybe failing a few times, having a terrible debut against Manchester City, which everyone famously remembers, he ended up as a Man United captain because of his heart and because of his endeavour. That's kind of what I see with Malacia, is that even though he is a raw product, I'm not going to go on too far into that. Like, we talk about rawness just because he's 22 and plays in the Eredivisie. I don't want to go there. But I do think that you bring him into the Premier League, he has all the kind of aspects in his game that you want for a Premier League fullback. I think if he was signing for Brighton this week or Leicester or someone like that, I think this time next year he's worth 50 to 60 million pounds. So what you're doing is you're bucking that trend. You're buying the player to get him in early to work him in the system when you've already got a starting left back. And I think that's smart. I've got a lot of tweets today from people saying, but this is not the position Man United need. And I would argue that Manchester United need to address 11 positions. I really do believe that. I think you have to look at the whole squad and not kind of have that approach saying, well, if you're going to build slowly, then build position by position and look at it and add as the talent becomes available. Don't push it. Don't just buy, because that's what United have done in the past. So I think Malacia will be a fabulous addition. I think he'll play plenty of games next year. And I think you'll see an upside for Luke Shaw again, that he'll have someone who competes with him. But it also means that Luke Shaw doesn't have to start every week. And if he's got fitness issues like he had last year, the pressure to play him isn't there. Don't forget with Luke Shaw last year, the three injuries that he had and the two concussions came from overplaying, because when he was fit, he had to play because he was the best left back you've got and the best defender you had at that time. And I think that really hurt his own game.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think, you know, we see Haaland at City, for example, a lot of people talk about his injury record, but the fact that they've got quality, it means that he can be, his minutes can be managed. Now, I do think about that about Luke Shaw. I'm not saying Luke Shaw's like Haaland. I'm just saying that you look at Alex Telles, for example, and we'll go into actually a little bit more. And we will talk about Shaw at the end as well. We'll do a segment on his performance last season. We were speaking off air and I said one of the things about the squad makeup at the minute is that when you take one or two players out, key players out of that starting 11, the players that come in not only aren't up to the required level, which is an issue in itself, but they're completely different profiles. And that's a big problem, because then if you've got a certain way of playing, then if you bring in players that can't fulfill that role that they're asked to do in the system to the same level, or even do anything similar. For example, Luke Shaw is a progressive carrying left back. He's really good at getting forward. Alex Telles, that's the worst aspect of his game. So it's almost not even Telles' fault. It's poor scouting. And we all got excited about Telles. We saw glimpses. We're like, this guy, you know, maybe with a three at the back, if he's playing as a wing back, he can get forward and put the ball into the box. The problem is you took Shaw out. He was so critical to the way that United were playing, you know, during Ollie's tenure, really. getting forward, being a great progressive ball carrier, linking up play. Telles just didn't do that. So United's already lopsided attack just fell off completely. And I think that's what I want to see from Ten Hag, is he's so set on his philosophy and principles and how he wants to play, that the squad should be, Jor comes out, Mlesic comes in, and they're both doing the same thing in the same role. And that's really key for me. And I think that's what City do. That's what Liverpool do. That's what United haven't done for the past decade or so.
Yeah, when you talk about versatility and when we talk about having players that can do different things, the worst thing you want is a set of players that do tons of different stuff, but just very average. You know, they've got a thing that they do in MO, they're good at this, but they're not actually that good at it. So I think when you look at the balance of fullbacks at Man United, so you'd say like Shaw, Teller's obviously on the left, Wan-Bissaka on the right-hand side with Dalot, they've all got significant weaknesses. And out of those four that we just mentioned there, Luke Shaw is miles ahead of those other three when you look at the metrics. Absolutely miles ahead. The thing is, a lot of Man United fans look at him and have a huge issue with Luke Shaw. You know, they talk about his weight. There's a picture already from yesterday of him going around and training where, you know, he looks slightly portly because he's been off. But we do know with Luke Shaw that when he turns up for pre-season training, he doesn't look the most athletic. So here we've got a new player coming in who is an athlete, absolutely. And also, I think, gives you a kind of starter mark one and a starter mark two. So not really a one and a replacement, which is what you're getting with Alex Telles. And the same way on the other side, it has been with Dalot, hasn't it? Dalot obviously became the starter over time, but he was very much on the back burner, a player who'd gone out on loan because he wasn't wanted at Manchester United at some point. But now you're bringing in a left back who, in theory, could start every game if he wanted to. If he came in and was really, really good and outperformed Luke Shaw, you feel okay about Luke Shaw sitting on the bench. Whereas when Luke Shaw was fit last year or the year before that, Luke Shaw sitting on the bench was always a problem because he was one of your best players. You know, certainly metrically, around right at the top of European football. And we'll talk about that, as I said, at the end of the show when we look at his metrics, because they show that even last year when Man United were horrible and Luke Shaw had what was technically a bad season, he was still in the elite level fullbacks for some of these attacking options and what things that he does. So I think this is a great signing because I think that there's a tandem there. And I want to see that in every position, Haydar, not just on the left back. I want to see it right back. I want to see it in central midfield. You can't get away with just one player who does one thing. You can't get away with Paul Pogba who does Paul Pogba things. You can't do that. You can't do it with Frankie de Jong. He's going to come in. He needs support around him. And you need to see that these parts are interchangeable and that they look after each other, as opposed to them just kind of being having their own kind of special move that they can do, but that's it. Oh, I can swing the ball in like Alex Telles, but, you know, I'm not going to get you any goals and assists. It's kind of like, well, doesn't really help, does it?
Yeah, it's absolutely spot on. Rob, let's actually drill now into some of the numbers. And look, Mlesi is a very impressive player. On the screen, we have some stats from Squawker. So this is from the 2021-22 season that we just had. And this is for the Eredivisie. So this is, you know, within the league in the Netherlands. So he played more minutes than any other player for Feyenoord. So we talk about fitness. That's great. You know, there's something that our squad is not great at, is keeping fit. He reached the Europa Conference League final. He had a really good final as well against Roma. Obviously, they lost, but he had a really good performance. He had more shots, take-ons, and more successful dribbles than any other fullback in Eredivisie. Top three for tackles, touches in the opposition box, and passes into the final third. Means he's getting forward and he's getting involved in the build-up. And only Daley Blind is a defender with more touches than Mlesi. And obviously, Blind was very, very pivotal for Erik ten Hag's system. So these are really good metrics. And obviously, he is in the Eredivisie. Premier League is a different animal, different beast. We've seen that with Donny van de Beek. We've seen that with other players as well in the past. Ziyech has struggled. But the metrics are very, very good. You know, and he's, like it says on the screen, he's a perfect modern wing back.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at kind of all of these things, which are all lovely and fluffy, and you kind of go, well, what's the most important thing here? You look at this. So most take-ons completed, the most important word there is completed. You know, this is the thing. It's not somebody who just runs down, you know, a black hole and doesn't do anything with the ball. I think, again, you could have that that kind of comparison to, say, Dalot and Wan-Bissaka on the opposite side, where they do actually get forward. They just don't do enough with the ball. That's a problem, isn't it? So I think here as well, second most final passes in the final third, and the third most tackles in that area. What it shows is this guy likes to operate high up the pitch. So this is how Ten Hag is going to play football. When you look at Malachi and what he does there, he kind of looks like the profile of a Manchester City fullback. Yeah, someone who is not always going to live just at left back. He's not just going to play in a flat back four, but he's almost effectively going to be a winger. So when we talk about wing backs in the modern game and about them being the real fulcrums of your assisting and being either that assist or pre-assist player, this is what you're buying. You're buying a 22-year-old that knows what his own strengths are. A couple of his weaknesses is that he's a bit of a wanderer. So we just said that he's not always going to be at left back. So I think when you look at Luke Shaw is more defensively disciplined. But I think we all agree that Manchester United are at their very, very best when Luke Shaw is raiding and pushing forward. So what you're saying here is that if Luke Shaw's not available, you've got another raiding fullback that can do that job. So this is, I think, a really clever purchase. Because say the worst things happens here, now, Hayden, we're doing the show, and say Malachia, you know, fails a fitness test tomorrow or something like that, and we don't sign him. It shows that United's new recruitment department and the new manager are targeting the right kind of player. And that's almost more important than who you're signing today. You want to get Malachia over the line. You want to get all your players over the line. But this is why I said in the last show that we did about De Jong, patience. You need to wait and look and wait till these deals materialize. And United have done the right thing on this player. They've waited till the last moment, got in with an offer that's the best offer. And then they've told the player, do you want to come and play for the biggest club in the world? That is seductive. It works. You know, you don't always have to be the ones in the grind at the very beginning. So he's going to be a really, really nice addition. And as I said, Patrice Evra, I see him being that kind of player developing. And if you get a player like Patrice Evra for 12 or 13 million pounds, then you really are laughing.
Comparison here, Rob from Joel saying Malacia is like Lamptey. Awesome signing. Mm. Let's talk about he's short, you know, I'm 5'9", so I can't really talk about height. I can't say I'm a giant myself, but he is about 5'6", 5'7", so he isn't the biggest. So, you know, you can see that here on the screen. The graphic says here, you know, his aerial duels one is very, very low. You were not expecting him to be defending that back post. But you're looking at these metrics here, you know, total touches, he's very, very high. Touches in the box, he's very involved in the build-up. Like you said, marauding forward, you know, he's going to carry the ball. He's going to get United out of, you know, difficult situations. Let's say, you know, they're getting pressurized. He can beat his man and go, and he can influence things in the final third. When we're having a look at, you know, the way that Ten Hag expects his fullbacks to play, because this is very, very important as well. So what he likes to do, and we saw this last season with Daley Blint as a left fullback. And obviously Blint is a little bit more, I would say, like his qualities are playmaking, right? I wouldn't say he's someone's going to pick the ball up and he's going to go and run. Whereas Mazraoui was that sort of player. He was someone that was going to get forward. So you saw that bit of an asymmetric build-up, and Ten Hag liked to do that because then he'd have, you know, an extra player in that build-up building from the back. Now he's also got Frenkie de Jong. So United are going to have a lot of quality. So Malacia is going to be, or Luke Shaw, for example, is going to be that left fullback that's going to maraud forward, and he's going to actually get forward and influence proceedings. He's going to pick up the ball. He's going to, you know, play 1-2s. He's going to combination play, whatever. Then who's the option then for right back? And we won't go into this in too much detail, but let's just touch on it, because technically that right back, if that's the way Ten Hag wants to play, doesn't have to be a marauding right back. Just has to be someone who holds their position well, can pass the ball. And we were talking off air, but why couldn't someone like Victor Lindelof play at right back? I'm not saying he is a right back, but, you know, when you think about Daley Blint's qualities, someone who's more of a centre-back but playing left-back, you could see maybe that Ten Hag might do that asymmetric or lopsided setup. Malacia will get forward and he'll be the one that's going to be the attacking fullback. And Lindelof's got a lovely passing range. He's a good passer with the ball, strong in possession, and he just has to hold his position. So that could be an interesting combination along with Varane and Maguire.
Well, it could be. And I think this is, again, you know, we talked loads, don't we, on the show about defensive midfielders. It's like, as I said, the running joke with United fans that always want to talk about defensive midfielders. But how do you get around a world without a top-class, world-class defensive midfielder? Well, you do it in different ways. You do it with asymmetric fullbacks. That's what you do. So you let one go and you let one sit in a little bit more that's defensively minded. So it's kind of a switch to an out of possession, three at the back sometimes. That's kind of how it is. So they will shift across and you'll let one go. Something that Jose Mourinho used to like doing, but I think in that time it wasn't particularly overly fashionable. It was just something that he liked to do to have a solid base. But I think when you look at his players, you're just saying who would play on the right. It is difficult to say today exactly who you would play there. But what you can say is that when you look at the weaknesses of the two right backs that start for Man United, such as Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Dalot, and their weaknesses are all on the front foot. Like, I know people say, oh, Dalot's a good attacking fullback. The metrics do not support that. He does not get goals and assists. He really doesn't. The issues for United have always been that they've been a bit lopsided on that side. So do you come with three across? And as you said there, you could play Lindelof on that side. You could play Axel Tuwi and Zabi on that side. You've got options at right back if you're going to play a more asymmetric system. And that would also allow you to have maybe, say, De Jong in there with a worker like Fred, you know, someone like that. It means that your shape stays nice and true, that you can be attacking the half spaces. One of the things that we know Ten Hag likes about Malacia, again, from just doing scouting reports and one thing or the other, is that he likes how this player exposes that space. So he won't stand off it. He will go and attack it and push into it. And as you said earlier on, play one twos and do things like that. So this is a Ten Hag type signing for Ten Hag. This is why you're going to get him. You're not going to get him just because you need five or six players. You're getting him specifically to do a certain job that will then help other positions. So again, United fans today have said, we need a right back. Yeah, we do need a right back. But if a good right back isn't on the market for you, then you go and get the good left back and work around it. Get better players in all your positions and you will be a better squad.
And then you saw Ethan Led today in and yesterday in preseason. So you don't know what's going to happen with him. He's someone that I've actually been a big fan of, to be honest with you. I think he's been he's been so exciting, and he's actually been the one. Just injuries have been a bit of an issue for him. He had a really good spell at loan spell at Swansea last season. Obviously, United changed that, sent him to Bournemouth, and hardly played. But you just don't know which players are going to emerge. He's definitely got the skills and the skill set and the quality to thrive in this system. But it's obviously about keeping fit and whether he's going to get a chance. So it's very, very interesting, I think, when you're having a look at this United squad, because I think there's going to be a few surprises that we're going to see. Certain players are going to play in certain positions and be much better than we think they are. And that's why I say this consistently. It's almost my phrasing. The system is king. The system is set up in a certain way and the player, you know, executes his function and his role to a high level. Mm. Doesn't matter what position they played before, or if they're doing that job to a high level, then United will be successful and the system will be successful.
Yeah, and totally. And I think this is maybe the issue for when we had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, is that Ole had a set system, but the replacements on the bench and on the fringes of the squad could not make that system as good as the starters. And that was it. So as soon as you lost one or two starters, as soon as you lost Harry Maguire before a European final, you were done. That was it. And you lost that European final. Now people might say United should have won it. But the issue was is that all your replacements across the pitch, whether that be at fullbacks or into the midfield or even up top, going back a year ago, simply were not good enough. You need replacements that are good, Haydar. You can't kind of get around this. You can't just have journeymen or people who just are earning a big wage and then might pay six games a season. And you need true competition. So I think Telles, when he came to the football club, offered Luke Shaw that competition immediately. And Luke Shaw's game went up. Improved massively. I'm not saying that they're buying him Malacia to do exactly that, to be competition and, you know, push Luke Shaw on day one, but I think it now gives you an option of a raiding fullback that you just didn't have. You haven't got a left-sided raiding fullback. You've got Luke Shaw who can do that job and does it well when he's doing it, but Luke Shaw does get injured. So there is that. So there's always that balance factor, and you've got to find players that have got skill sets that can replace the players that are in the team in the starting 11. You can't just get away with 11 good players and then 11 reserves who were terrible. And that's kind of where Man United have been, isn't it, for a long time, is that the reserves would come in and they wouldn't do the job.
Rob, do you remember when we did a show back in the day and something Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I believe he said this, or he did want, was he wanted a squad with a bit of everything. I think we had this discussion. And while you can see the idea behind that, it actually almost was his downfall because... And that's why I always said I wanted a manager with a really strong and defined philosophy. And, you know, look at Klopp, you look at Guardiola. This is how I play. I do have a plan B, but all these players have to fit it. And that's why when Klopp came in, all the players that started, obviously, when he first when he first arrived, pretty much left, didn't they? Because they just weren't fit for purpose. They couldn't press. They couldn't do the things that Klopp wanted them to do. And I think this is probably the exciting thing about Ten Hag, is that he is so set in stone in how he wants to play. He's going to have to adapt, like he will, to the Premier League, like Pep Guardiola had to. But we know now that he will target a certain profile of player, and it's now on the club to execute and buy those players. And that's the key. And that's what we will... That's how we will judge, right? They don't bring in the players. None of these shirt sellers. You know, for example, back in the day, I say back in the day, probably what, a year ago, Neymar's on the market. United would have been all over that. And I actually think now, and I think Neymar's a fantastic talent, but I wouldn't take him because you're trying to rid the dressing room of certain characters and let's say mercenaries. I'm just going to say that word. And you just don't want that again. So that's why I think this signing excites me, because it is that step in the right direction of signing someone who has the qualities and attributes and the profile to fit and to develop and to improve in Ten Hag's system.
Yeah, I do think under Solskjaer, I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt on this, because the squad itself, in terms of personnel, when you looked at him on a bit of paper, was a strong squad. It really was. There wasn't, you know, if you're bringing in Alex Telles and you looked at his goals and assists from what he was doing in the Portuguese league, you're like, wow, this player can do it. You know, he can cut it. Then you see him in the Premier League and he's garbage. So that's a problem, isn't it, for a manager? I think you bring them in. What you said there about philosophy, I think, is really pertinent and really correct, is that you need a manager as a hard and fast philosophy to fit the pieces into that philosophy. So when you look at someone like Malaccio or players of that type, Ten Hag is going to look at footballers like they're machines. So, of course, footballers are human beings. Everyone has emotions and whatnot. But it means that when that bit of the machine isn't working or you need to change something, that you've got another piece there ready to fit the machine. You don't change the machine, do you? You don't change everything. And that's what Man United had to do at times, where they would literally have to change six positions because one or two players were injured and the balance was completely shot. So this is why this signing makes sense, because it means that if Luke Shaw does get injured, you're just replacing him with another player that can overlap, that can do all of that stuff and that can attack on the left-hand side. Of course, you now need a right-back. So like you talked there about Ethan, he's a really, really good player. Didn't really do much at Bournemouth, let's be honest, in the second half of the season, but was really good at Swansea. He probably needs another year out on loan. And there is a lot of young players like that. So again, this is why I'm saying about patience with the fan base, is that you might have to wait a year or two to see some of this work turn to fruition. You need some upside immediately, but at the same time, you need to understand that this is going to take time. And this young lad's coming in, he's going to take some time as well, isn't he?
Yeah, that's actually something I wanted to say. And we will actually finish off talking about Luke Shaw after this slide. But the slide obviously is very, very interesting. You can see the heat map here. And he just covers every blade of grass. And that's really, really important. What United have been lacking is fullbacks that get up and down. Luke Shaw can do it to an extent. You know, he did it really well in that season. I'm not actually going to write off Luke Shaw now. And a lot of people are, that's it, that's the end of Luke Shaw. Maybe in a year's time, he will go. I mean, look, Joel's saying here, he thinks Telles will be sold first, and Shaw eventually will make way for Alvaro Fernandez, who is a really good talent. So that possibly could happen. But I don't think we can write off Luke Shaw now, because, you know, not too long ago, I know he's had one good season, really, apart from before his leg break under LVG, where he looked like an absolute world-class player. But still think Luke Shaw has qualities. And we weren't saying this, you know, a year ago, where he was probably the best fullback in Europe, to be honest, Rob.
In the world.
Yeah.
He was the best player in the world, left footback, and he scored a goal when England were in the Euros 12 months ago in the final. Yeah.
I still watch that goal sometimes. I think, what could it
exactly
been?
So he was absolutely at his peak, but we know that the whole Manchester United hall of cards just collapsed, didn't it? And he was part of that.
Yeah. And so when we look at it, I mean, look, this is what Malassi will offer, and it's impressive. He'll get up and down. He'll do what needs to be done. He'll execute Ten Hag's, you know, his instructions. But what I do want to say is that I don't expect Malacia to start immediately. It could be maybe 6 months into the season, Malacia is coming off the bench. And I think that's the key here, is that we've got to be a little bit patient with him. He's a really exciting player. He's got some great qualities and attributes. He's going to be an exciting talent. But this is also a step up to Premier League. And it's only benefits Man United that they still have someone like Luke Shaw as well, that they can bed him in slowly.
Yeah, and we talked on the Promised Land today on my other show about substitutes this week. And we mustn't forget that in the new season, we're going back to COVID substitutes. So five per game. Now, that does change the game, especially for the big clubs who've got that those bigger squads and they want to integrate players. I'd be happy here for Luke Shaw to play an hour every game and Malacia to play half an hour. And that means that you're then getting that kind of key rotation in. Also talking about players of comparison, well, obviously I've talked about Patrice Evra, but Patrice Evra, maybe even some of our audience don't remember Patrice Evra, they might be a little bit too young, dare I say. But I think when you look at the modern game, he's kind of got the skill set of someone like Robertson. So when you look at this heat map here, this could be the heat map of Robertson at Liverpool, is that it's all action, it's completely the left side of the pitch, and being really dominant in those areas. So it's not a case that I'm just going to close a little bit. I'm going to close you up to the corner flag. So when you look at that heat map, he dominates it from corner flag to corner flag. That's kind of what you want your fullbacks to do. Luke Shaw can do that when he's at his fittest and at his best. But now you're going to have a 22-year-old who does it completely naturally. And that's kind of what you want Ethan Laird to do on the other side eventually, is to be that kind of player that dominates the full right-hand side, maybe like a kind of Reece James type character, to be an attacker, to be a defender, and do everything else in the middle. And that's why I say to you, Haydar, I don't want specialists. I want players that can do everything well. You know, I want you to be able to attack, defend, pass, shoot, tackle. I don't want Wan-Bissaka for 50 million just because he can tackle. That's just a rubbish buy, isn't it? And I think when you look at that, that's the difference here, is that you're not buying someone for Crystal Palace from 50 million who's got upside and maybe potential as a young player. You're buying someone here from Feyenoord for 13 million quid, which is not a lot of money.
And that's the key, isn't it? So let's move on now to the final segment of the show, Rob. And let's talk about Luke Shaw, because Luke Shaw still is and will be the starting left back, at least for this season for Man United. I think his stock is low. He's a frustrating player, isn't he? Because so much promise when he burst onto the scene in Pochettino's Southampton side. I mean, he was amazing, wasn't he? In terms of his speed, his agility, his fearlessness. And look, he lost a lot of that, let's be honest, with the most horrific leg break. I mean, he nearly lost his leg. I remember seeing an article, sort of a couple of years ago regarding it. Had a really fantastic season, obviously scored in the Euros final and hasn't really kicked on last season. As you mentioned earlier on the show, a couple of injuries, concussions, they do take it out of you. He has got overplayed. But there are concerns about whether he's going to kick on and become a world-class player. I don't think he is now. I think he can still be a very good player. But I don't think he has it anymore, and maybe mentally, and I don't think physically he can become a top world-class player for a sustained amount of time. We saw it for one season, and I don't think he can. But having a look at these metrics here, having said all of that...
the metrics are about to prove you wrong.
Yeah, they're about to prove me wrong. And I think the surprising thing is, look, he was injured last season, didn't play as much. So it was a smaller sample size. But you're looking here, in terms of assists, he was in the 92nd percentile for fullbacks, which is... for left back, which is world class, yeah. Shot creating actions. So that, for example, is Luke Shaw. The actions that Luke Shaw took led to shots, basically. So it could be passes, it could be dribbles, for example, which is in 95th percentile. So he's one of the best. So
world class,
world class. So really surprises me. Look, we all know he's a good progressive passer. He's one of United's few progressive passers in their team, and that's been one of my United's problems. I think Frankie Dion will come in and change that. Hopefully Maguire can do that a little bit more. We will be doing a centre-back version of the 10 Days of Ten Hag, so that will be coming up at some stage soon. Progressive carries as well. Look, he's still getting 5.18 per game, so it's 67th percentile. So when you look at some of those statistics, like, they are world-class, aren't they? You know, he is up there with the best. Then when you look further down, you look at pressures, 22nd percentile, tackles, 12th, interceptions, 3rd percentile. Look, we know United were very, very poor last season. I think that was a collective problem. You know, it was a team that were poor defensively. It wasn't just one or two players. But when you have a look at this, something for Ten Hag to work with, for sure, with a better system. Luke Shaw, even though Malacia's here, should still, at least for the beginning of the season, be the starting left back for Ten Hag.
Well, yes, no, or maybe. So I'm sitting on the fence because the way I look at it is you put them in there in training and you play the best one. That's what you do. So if it's Malachia, I've got no issue with Luke Shaw sitting on the bench. And I don't think Luke Shaw will have an issue either if the player's outperforming him. But of course, what we've seen at Manchester United in the last year is that no one really was outperforming him. You know, Alex Tellers didn't come in and make Luke Shaw look silly, did he, or anything like that. I'm going to kind of counter what you said. And I think that's kind of obvious. I've got here my my Luke Shaw cup. I don't know if you can see that there, the Shaw Burto cup. And the whole thing with Luke Shaw is that, is Luke Shaw world-class or not? Well, I have no opinion. Just look at the stats. The stats tell you that Luke Shaw had a bad year last year. Man United had a bad year. And yet his stats are probably top five, top 10 in the world for his position, which is world-class. So I know that some people don't like him. And I think this is more what it's about. You said his stock is low. I think every Man United player's stock is low. And I will even put Cristiano and David De Gea in there. Yeah, they are both players. They might have had the best seasons for United last year. I don't think anyone should have got a Player of the Year award for Man United last year because the whole team stank it out. So I think when you look at Luke Shaw, I see it like this. He got injured in that first game of the season against Leeds. And then he got those two concussions back to back really quickly. And I think that stuffed his game up for months. He never really looked fit after that. Always looked a bit slow, a bit ponderous on the back foot. You and me have both said before about Luke Shaw. When Luke Shaw decides that he has to be Luke Shaw and go, that's when he's best. He doesn't think, I'm going that way and you lot have to deal with it behind me because I'm going to overlap, I'm going to get assists. When you look there, the shot creating actions there, 95th percentile, that's extraordinary. Yeah, and for a player that doesn't get loads of assists, like maybe in the Trent Alexander-Arnold mould, to be in the 92nd percentile for assists there in the Premier League for what he does is incredible. Progressive passes, 82nd percentile. Passes attempted, 86th percentile. Progressive carries, 67th percentile. This boy can do it. So you're not buying the new fullback to replace Luke Shaw. You're saying we just want two really good left backs. And that's the way to look at this.
You let them fight them out. And I think there's a lot, you know, there's comments here saying, why are we defending washed up Luke Shaw? He won't start. Malacia's
what
too
does
good.
It mean, washed up Luke Shaw? Like this
it's
is
just Twitter
whole
chat, Rob.
It's just it is just Twitter nonsense. It's like if Luke Shaw doesn't do it, then he's going to get dropped. That's it. So last year you couldn't do that because Luke Shaw didn't really have a lot of competition. I think this is what we're saying, the differential between the starting 11 and maybe the second 11. But who's washed up? He's not washed up in terms of age. He has had injuries. And I think, again, when you look at his injury records, you could be concerned about that.
But that's a concern, though.
You'd be concerned about Varane then from last year. And you'd be concerned about any player that picks up injuries. But I look at it with Luke Shaw is I don't think there's fundamentally anything wrong with his fitness. And when you look at his metrics, there is nothing wrong with his output. So his output proves that if he probably wasn't at Man United and he was at a better club, his metrics would have been even better last season. And if he was actually could have stayed fit. The problem was that Man United's defence collapsed, completely collapsed across the board. Luke Shaw was part of that. He needs to take his part of the blame for that. But to say any of them are kind of washed up, like I can't think of any United players and sitting here and say that they are genuinely washed up. I really can't. Everyone's going to get a chance, Haydar. And Luke Shaw's going to be able to prove that he is one of the best fullbacks in the world. As I said, 12 months ago, when England got to that Euros final and he scored that goal, Luke Shaw, both for metrics and the eye test, was the best left back in.
Do you not think that he was almost a victim of his own success? He was so good that season.
Absolutely.
I think that's something to look. I'll be honest with you, Rob. I think eventually Malacia will replace Luke Shaw. But I don't think he's finished at the club. And it only benefits United that he gets back to what he can do. And I honestly think once other players around him also elevate their levels and United look better defensively, they have someone like Frankie de Jong, these players are all going to look better. And that's the point, isn't it? And it's frustrating because I looked at this squad and I was like, I dislike this squad intensely. Some of these players I dislike. But They are all better than what they showed last season.
Yeah. And you dislike them because they lost, and they lost in a bad fashion. That's why you dislike them.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, you see. Like, I think United fans need to leave that at the door now. This is a new start with a new manager, a new system, new fundamentals. Now, yes, we might still see stuff. I just see there someone's put up in the comments, he's only 26. And that's right. He is only 26. He's not washed up. He's not
younger than me, Rob.
Exactly. So there you go. So that means you and me are both completely washed up, Haydar. So this is the problem, just on age alone. So I look at that. You can't say a player that 12 months ago is washed up or finished because he didn't have a particularly good year. That was triggered by two lots of concussions. So I think the United overplayed all of their stars in the last, say, 24 months and beyond. That's really hurt players like Marcus Rashford having to play injured. We saw last year multiple players having to play injured at times, and that not kind of helping their own personal form. And this helps that, doesn't it? That you've got a player coming in who is an aggressive left back and a technical left back who can do the stuff that Luke Shaw does on Luke Shaw's best day. And then you can balance it out. And I don't care about who the starter is. Like, again, I think I had it on Twitter, a few people going, oh, I know you like Luke Shaw. And I really don't care who starts. You start the team that wins. That's all I care about. If Ronaldo starts every game and scores the winning goal in every match, I'm happy. That's what it's about, isn't it? But what we've seen with Man United is a real imbalance across the squad over such a long period of time. So that's time that's readdressed. It doesn't matter who the starters are. As long as you win and play a good brand of football, you're going to see us applaud it on the masterclass.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, to be honest. Rob, let's move on to the final words. So we've seen, obviously, when we did a show yesterday about Frenkie de Jong, episode 3 of 10 Days of Ten Hag. Make sure you check that out, guys, if you haven't already. So that's a big step in the right direction. Man United finally getting a midfielder who can control and dictate. He can pick a pass, comfortable in receiving the ball when we build out from the back, shows for the ball, such a big part of it as well. Knows manager inside out. Manager absolutely loves him, has full trust in him. So that's really important. So Ten Hag's got his man. Ten Hag wants a left back who can be developed. Mm-hmm. He has the qualities going forward, has the ability to step up and become a very, very good player. He's got his man. So that's two signings that Ten Hag wants. How important is it now that United go and get the players that Ten Hag wants? If he wants Eriksen, you go and get him. If he wants Lisandro Martinez, you go and get him. If he wants Yuen Timber, you go and get him. I don't think Timber's going to happen. But how important is it now that United buy those profiles that Ten Hag wants so he can start building this squad and start building this team and get them playing the football that Ten Hag wants to play?
Well, I think I tweeted out earlier on, and I'll stick with this, for probably the rest of my life. You can't always get what you want in the transfer market, but you've got to go and get what you need, right? So that's not a kind of Rolling Stones kind of lyrical play on words there. That's an actual fact with football, is that Ten Hag needs the players that he sat down with the recruitment team, with John Murtough, and with Darren Fletcher and everyone else at the football club. And he's like, I need this core of players to do this. I need Frenkie de Jong because I need someone that can progress the ball, that's technical, that can pass, that doesn't give it away. That's why he's looking at that player. He's looking here, obviously, with a new left back, not because he doesn't rate Luke Shaw. Again, I saw a load of tweets straight away going, he's seen one day of Luke Shaw on the training pitch and he's sanctioned the move. Well, that's not true either. That's not how it happened. But this is all about having a kind of, as we always say, the word holistic approach to squad building, is that if you can get better in every position, that's the way you build it. And that is a long process. You very rarely can score like 7 hits in a row. So you're not going to get 7 players, 7 hits. Oh, you win the Champions League. It doesn't always really work like that, does it? We know in football that it's a much more kind of longer build when you're doing it the way we're doing it or having to do it. So I like this. You just said about Christian Eriksen, so we will mention him a little bit. Christian Eriksen, his agent has said for the last 2 weeks, been very public to contacts and everyone that we work with, that he will decide on the last day of his contract at Brentford, and everyone will find out where he's going. That contract now has 2 days left to run. Manchester United are still very much in the running. The big choice for Christian Eriksen is, who are United signing? That was one thing. He wanted to know who was coming to the club. He's a big fan of Frenkie de Jong. He wants to play with Frenkie de Jong. But the other side of the coin here is the real life thing. And he's actually had, obviously, you know, these experiences, hasn't he? Playing for Denmark a year ago, everyone knows everything about his heart and what happened at that time. And for him, lifestyle is an important thing. And there is a feeling that he would like to stay in London. So this is a choice for him now, whether he stays in London with Brentford or he goes to Manchester United because he wants the challenge. And what we heard a month or two ago was that he was looking for a challenge. So that's the balance of that. Is he a perfect signing for Ten Hag? I think so. I think he's the kind of player, it's a technical player, get the ball in the deck, knows the Premier League, can help you win. And I think these other two signings, we can say that De Jong hopefully will now get done towards the end of the week or early next week. And we look at Malacia and we look at kind of his addition and how quickly that's moved. These are three players, I think, on day one of the Premier League, help you be better. That's what you need. Bring players in that makes your squad more effective and makes you more of a winning machine. And I'm going to use that machine word a lot in this season because that's how I view it, is that I'm not interested in emotions and how it works. I'm not really interested in that. I want players to go out there and do their job, Haydar. Do not lose the ball. Keep it. Move it on. Be progressive. Be good at your game. Help Manchester United win football matches. If you do that and bring in players that do that, Haydar, I think we're all going to be very, very happy.
Before we wrap up, Rob, Antonio Martinez. Obviously, Ten Hag's going very Ajax with his targets, let's say. And it's not a surprise, you know. He's going with what he knows. He's got a core of players who didn't really cover themselves in glory last season. So, you know, it's only natural that he want to bring players that he trusts, that he knows that he can have in the dressing room that will strengthen as well, you know, sort of his control of the dressing room. So that's important. So Antony, obviously, we spoke about him briefly yesterday. You know, possibly priced out of a move. United shouldn't go and spend whatever it is, 80 million euros on him. Martinez is an interesting one. Obviously, Arsenal seemingly have been the ones in pole position for him. Can you see moving on either of those two? And something I'm going to add, and it's just come through. Obviously, we are live now. So if you're listening to this on playback, this might have happened already. But Rafinha looks like he's on his way to Chelsea. So that's a close deal. So they could have Chelsea could have him and Sterling. That's an immediate upgrade on what they had last season. So that's very, very interesting because I was interested to see how their new ownership would react. Would they be spending money? So obviously they're making some statement signings. We've seen Marina Granovskaya leave there. Check's probably out. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do. So that's Rafinha possibly off the table for United. They haven't really declared that much interest since Ten Hag's come in. So where does that leave United? Because if Arsenal don't go and get Rafinha, obviously they're going to want to try and get Martinez. Could Gnabry go back there? Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts. But where are United sitting on Antony and Martinez?
Well, United's preference, undoubtedly, between looking at all these Ajax players and players that connected to Ten Hag, was Julian Timber. They wanted Timber. They felt that they could get him in the earlier stages. And what they found out really is that Timber himself is not that keen to move. I know it's been blamed on Van Gaal, but it's really the players decided that he wants to stay at Ajax. And Ajax are going to offer him a really nice deal to keep him sweet. You're looking at Martinez. Martinez is an Arsenal target. They're the ones who have put two bids in for him. And Manchester United have asked Ajax to be kept informed of the player's availability. It's a little bit like the situation with Darwin Nunez in that the agent has said that the player will be going to the Premier League, but we just don't know where. So kind of leaving it open. So there is the opportunity to go and sign Martinez, but I don't think it's very high on Man United's list. I think United would rather wait here now for a right back, someone like Timber, work with what they've already got. And like we've seen here with Malacia, just coming out of nowhere at left back, that's kind of where Martinez, in terms of his versatility, he could be a left back, play defensive midfield, play centre-back.
I think I could see him as a defensive midfielder. He has played there a few times, but I think that, I mean, you see that we were talking about it off air, weren't we? The way he turns, his centre of gravity, his ability to pick up the ball and, you know, to pick a pass. I think looking at his height as well, yeah, I think he's struggling at centre-back.
But the difference with that is that do you go and play the premium for Martinez now, which is going to be somewhere between 44, 45, 46 million, yeah, to get a player who's a versatile player and does different things? Or do you just play 13 million for Malacia and move your money around into other positions? That's what you do. That's clever business. So I think someone like Martinez, and also we talked there about Antony, they're all at the kind of top end of their value and their clubs are listening to those offers. They want to talk to those clubs in that top end ballpark. So I look at Martinez and I don't think that he's the player that you could go and get now at the top end of his value. If you're going to pay £44 million for a defender, go and get Pau Torres, who is available for the release clause of £44 million. You agreed wages with him. He wants to come to Manchester United. He also wants to come to Premier League, and Tottenham obviously in for him there. But he has a preference for Manchester United. So if you want a central, a centre back, go and do that.
Oh, Rob,
and this is why
you've
got to decide.
That's if you want a centre back.
What you've got to decide. Yeah. So this is why I keep saying to United fans, patience. Not because I'm trying to wind United fans out or say, you know, just try and be the alternative view on stuff. I want the manager to think about this and say, right, where do I really need players? So, yeah, I've gone and got a left back because that helps my left side. It means I can drive the half space. It means I can play higher up the pitch, be a little bit more pressing, a little bit more aggressive. But then I might have to go and get a right back for 10 or 12 or 15 million or something like that. Is that better business, having two players for 30 million than a Martinez for 44, 45? Or if I'm going to spend 45... do I go and get one of the most cultured left-sided centre-backs in the world who's been brilliant in La Liga over the last two or three years? So these are the choices that I want the manager to make, but I don't want him to rush it. The transfer window's open till September the 1st. The only people who want to see it rushed are you lot out there, the fans, because you're desperate for news and desperate to know. Malacia, you got a nice surprise today. Hopefully that gets done now. We've done this show and hopefully he's agreeing terms as we're speaking. The contract's going to be there on the table and written up for him. This is also why they went and got Keane last week, the solicitor, because they want him to draw up contracts because they had their targets all in place. And I think the cards will now fall. You know, you're going to see Eriksen, I think, decide by the weekend, definitely. I think De Jong might actually be a little bit quicker than I thought. As I said, just at the start of the show, I think next week was kind of what I'd heard. But now we're hearing maybe even Friday. But the whole point of that is that Barcelona have deliberately held that deal up because they wanted to try and get a bigger price. And Manchester United, rightfully, went no, because you knocked on our door for the player and said, well, you know, you can have him for this price. You want rid of him because you've got a set of midfielders you want to go with. And we're going to buy him, but we're only going to buy him at his market value. We're not going to buy him over the top. So I think that's good business. And I think Manchester United, by the end of the week, by Friday, Saturday, Sunday, might have three new, very good players.
Watch this space. Look, guys, a lot of new listeners in the comments today. Thank you so much for all your support as well to all our regular listeners. And thank you for joining us on this masterclass journey. This is only day four, Rob, of 10 Days of 10 Hags. So you guys have got six more days. So we'll be working on that. And, you know, if you turn those notifications on, you'll see we won't give too much away. We want to keep it a little bit of a surprise and a secret. But look, we've got the Frankie de Jong episode that we've also recorded. That's a really good one because we break down, you know, what position is he going to play? And also the relationship between him and Ten Hag. I think that's really important. So make sure you check that out. If you haven't checked out episode one and two as well, we spoke about Ronaldo and Ten Hag's tactics. And then David De Gea, who seems to be the biggest Marmite player at the minute for Manchester United. Give us a follow on at TF Masterclass on Twitter. Give myself a follow on at Hader_Rabani. And give Rob a follow on at @_Rob_B. Man United are going Dutch, Rob. A little Dutch revolution at Old Trafford. And we'll see you all next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.